Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12 and do something a little different this morning. I'm going to give James a break. And James, I don't want anything put on the screen this morning. That title was okay, but what I want you to do this morning, go get you some breakfast or something, James. Just whatever. We're gonna focus right here today. How many here have a red Bible? If you have a red Bible, hold it up. Those of you who have heard me preach before. Because what? All Bibles should be red. That was a trick question, I know. And I introduced that because I want you to focus on your particular Bible this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Follow along in whatever translation that you have. But I want you to focus and underline and take notes and not be... Just don't use a screen for a crutch this morning. I just want you to dig into your Word. So when you leave here today, you're going to walk away with your Bible that you marked in, and you're going to walk away, and you're going to look back and see what God has particularly spoken to your heart. That's what I want you to do this morning. Now, read with me just a couple verses. I'm trying to lose my voice for some reason, but that's because God's going to do something awesome today, and Satan don't like it. Amen? Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. And Lord, there is no way that we can wrap our minds and our faith or anything around this unless you send your Holy Spirit to speak the wisdom of this Word into our hearts. So we pray right now as you bless your Word that you allow the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to give us revelation, to help us understand exactly what we as a church and we every individual need to take from the message that you have for us today. And Lord, Satan is roaming around right now like a roaring lion waiting to devour everyone who hears your Word right now. So Lord, I pray right now that you'll create a hedge of protection around your people. Lord, there are people here that are on fire and are strong. There are people who are weak. There are people who are doubting. There are people who are questioning. But Lord, they are here. And they're going to hear your Word today. So right now in this moment, as the Holy Spirit, as you begin to draw them to your Word, as you begin to draw them to your truth, protect your Word, Father God. May it not be stolen away before it is even planted in the heart of your people. If there is anything evil, may it be bound and cast out in the name of Jesus. Lord, may we focus on you. May we hear your Word. Lord, may I be behind a veil. May they not see me. Lord, this is not about me performing some kind of message and being seen. This is about your Word and your truth and the victory that we have in Christ. So, Lord, may they see the cross. May they see the truth. Lord, fill me full of the Holy Spirit. And with humility, back up and allow you to speak. Have your way right now. Lord, I don't want to get in the way of what you want to do for your people today. Lord, bless them. May they hear from you. And Lord, may they respond in faith to whatever you're calling them to. In Jesus' name, amen. Forgive me as I get a couple drinks. Or one. I want to start this message off with telling you a little bit about my experience in the last couple years. I believe that the best message is a personal message, more applicable. Now, a year before last, Pastor Rocky stood right here and said, "This year will be the year of freedom." And whoo, boy, he said a lot of things that get us stirred. But when he said that, particularly for me personally, It stirred in my heart, and I fell on my face. When that altar call came, I was right there, and I said, it's time to get free. It is time to get free from that weight that Hebrews 12:1 speaks of. It's time to get free from that sin that we get drawn into so easily. It's time to get free from all that. And I said, praise God, I am going to be free. I am claiming that freedom in Christ, and I'm going to stand in the name of Jesus, wearing the whole armor of God, and I'm going to march forward and do your work, Lord. And I was ready. I was on fire. I was ready to move forward. But something I learned about freedom is very important. As the year progressed, the last year and a half or so, God started answering my prayer of freedom. Let me tell you how He answered it. If you're seeking freedom, let me tell you something. He answered my prayer with brokenness. Whew. I said, man, I understood as I began to get free, God said, you are not truly going to be free until you are truly broken. There is freedom without being broken. Without falling back and saying, it is all about you, God, and less of me. So I understood at the very beginning that there's that beginning of freedom, that initial freedom that we have that is free, that is somewhat easy to attain. Because we understand that we can't attain freedom by ourselves. And we understand that we have got to grab a hold of Jesus, that there is hope, that I can have freedom. I've seen it. It's true. I can have freedom. That's that initial freedom that we all have. A lot of us have when we get saved and we're excited, we're emotional, and everything is just awesome because we understand that there's really freedom. But then, that second part of freedom, and I just labeled it processional freedom, and that's that freedom that says, okay, you truly want me. You want to be in Christ. You want to have that freedom. You want to be able to cast off that weight and all that sin, all those snares that entangle you. Well, there's a process of being broken. One habit at a time. One little piece of laziness at a time. In my case, a lot of laziness at a time. One little snare here and there. That process. And it is within that process when you truly begin to find freedom. When you look back and say, you know what, I was excited about freedom, but whoa, man, what I've got now, knowing that I had to be broken to get that freedom, is an awesome thing. And it was within that freedom is when many Christians live and die spiritually. Now listen to me. You can come in here and you can hear a beautiful message. Say amen. Thank you. You can hear beautiful singing. You can hear all kinds of wonderful things, and I'm going to do my best to stir your heart. But let me tell you something. Get excited, get emotional, and come to this altar and pray. But I promise you, your freedom will not truly come until you realize you have to be broken. How many here like to be broken? Don't raise your hand, you're lying. I'm just kidding, brother. We don't like to be broken, but it's necessary because the joy that comes with that is an awesome thing. The growth and maturity that we get from that is an awesome thing. And I'm not saying that my experience is that I've experienced all there is about freedom and I'm your textbook. Just look at my life and you can have it all just like me. No. Man, if you knew me and know my struggles too, I'm just like you. You're just like me. We are walking through earth, through a place where we're going to struggle, where we're going to suffer, where we're going to continue to strive after God, but with all the issues that we carry along with us. But today, you can claim that you're free, but walk out of here understanding that the true freedom is going to come through brokenness. And with that, through this scripture, I wanted to look at a few things that brought that to my heart. And I want us to understand the difference between weight and sin and suffering. Now, God's Word says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin. Now, I want you to notice that God's Word didn't say that I'm going to make everything smooth, that you'll never have to suffer again. You'll never have any pain in your life again. You'll never have any challenges. He says you are going to lay aside the weight And that word weight, when you look it up, it's a word that just simply means a hindrance. If you look at the real literal translation, it means an arm. It's like having another arm or something that you can't use that's just growing out of you, or a bulging, something in your body that's just, it's just a hindrance. And you want to do things, but it's just, you can't get it out of your way. That's that weight that a lot of us carry around, and that sin. And you know your sin. You know the sin. If you're not walking in it, you know the sin that is so easy to drag you back. You know the challenges that you have that Satan can use to draw you back away from God. You know that sin that so easily ensnares you. And God's Word says, let us lay aside all that weight. Let us lay aside all that junk so that we can walk in the midst of Christ, because we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Now, the suffering part. I'm glad Jake sung that song this morning. Blessed be your name. Though we walk through, what's the verse? Words. Basically, we walk through a place of suffering, a valley of suffering. We walk through that stuff. And you've walked through it, and if you haven't, you're going to walk through it. James chapter 1. Turn me over there to James chapter 1 real quick. I want to look at that. James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It brings about that endurance or that perseverance that Hebrews 12 is talking about. That stuff you're going to fight and go through, even after you've laid aside your weight and your sin, you're going to deal with that stuff, but it's going to bring that character and that endurance that you need. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. In verse 12 of James says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Suffering ain't fun, but it's necessary. And if you're like me, God has to make me suffer more to get the point, because I'm not as smart as everybody else. But I want you to understand something. We get suffering and our sin and our weight. We get that mixed up and we cry, oh, why does this happen to me, God? Oh, take it away from me. It may not be God's will to take that suffering from you, because He's doing a work in your life. He's doing something in your life. And it hurts. I know it hurts. But it's necessary. It's also part of the world that we live in. A lot of times we like to over-spiritualize our suffering, don't we? We like to call it suffering for the cause of Christ. And let me tell you something. Don't put on your own weight and then ask God to bless you because you've had so much endurance. And let me give you a good example. Went fishing. That's suffering right there. Well, if you saw the fishing trip, 4 men and 5 fish brought back. We did not cast our net on the right side that day. We brought back nothing, Harley. On the way back, I dropped my dad off. I'm on the way home. And it's almost God saying, you know how your truck is. The gas gauge don't work too well. You need to get some gas. Or some diesel in my case. You need to get some diesel. Oh, I can make it, God. I can make it. I can make it. So coming down Verona Canny Road, my truck goes, and then I start praying, oh, God, please let me make it home. Please, I promise I will go straight to the gas station and I will fill up. Please, God, let me get there. Lord, please rescue me from my weight that I have put on me on my own. And then it happens. Keep in mind, it's a diesel too. Let's add on suffering. And so God didn't answer my prayer. Okay. And so what I start saying, well, God, there's something you're showing me through all this. I started walking towards my house. I called mom and dad, and they were coming to get me.
Yeah.
Started walking towards my house praying, God, I know there's something you want to show me here, and I know you're going to show it to me. You're going to show me something awesome, something. I'm going to learn something from this, and I'm going to be a better man for it. And I kept waiting and waiting. A couple of days go by, and it dawned on me, and it's like I had an aha moment. And I was talking to Pastor Richard. I said, man, I figured it out. I know what God was saying. This is what he said. Now listen to me. Very spiritual stuff here. Put this in your back pocket. This is what he said. He said, listen, you didn't put diesel in your truck and you ran out. You hear that? you ran out of diesel because you didn't put diesel in your truck. Okay, well what? Where's the angel singing in the great message? No, that's it, dummy. You just didn't put diesel in your truck. There's nothing to learn here except keep diesel in your truck. And that was it. And I learned that, wow. We tend to over-spiritualize our suffering. God, I have suffered. We kind of cock our head to the side. I've suffered for you greatly by running out of diesel. No, you didn't. You put on your weight and your sin or whatever it is, in this case, maybe sin because I didn't listen to God. And you suffered the consequences. Let's don't over-spiritualize your situation. I know that's kind of a comical, real light-sided situation, but look at your sin. Look at your not listening to God. Look at your situation, and let's don't become all these grieving people who are suffering through our situations that you caused yourself. God says, lay aside all the weight, lay aside all the sin, lay it aside so you can run with endurance. There is enough suffering in the world without us as Christians putting it back on ourselves and back on, listen to me, on each other. There's enough suffering that we need each other for than to not put aside the junk that the enemy puts on us. And let's don't over-spiritualize it. You know what an awesome thing God's Word speaks to us in this passage of Scripture. You know, we have suffering and it's not fun. If you look at the passage of Scripture in verse number 11, and I'll read it real quickly. Verse number 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were circled for 7 days. By faith the heart of Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? What time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Now listen to me, here comes the suffering. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Listen to their suffering. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings and yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. There is suffering coming to your life, but it's a righteous thing. It's for those who stand that test and stand up. And let me tell you, there's joy in that. I can't understand that. How in the world can Paul and Silas in a prison, they've been beaten to the point of death, stand up and say, I'm going to praise you, God, in my suffering. I'm going to praise you in the storm, he said. How can David stand up against a giant, expect to do anything except to say, it's not my battle, I'm not fighting the giant. And I want you all to see that, army. I'm not fighting the giant. It is your battle, God. I give it to you. May your will be done, and may the enemy be slain. I'm casting this weight off. God, you're casting this weight off. You want to cast your weight? You want to cast your sin off? You want to do all that? You want to march around Jericho and let the walls fall down in your life? Then you got to let God do it by simply realizing that you can't. How do we endure then through all of that? I know this part of the message is not fun whatsoever. It's not. But it's necessary for us. I think I have a responsibility. The teachers, the pastors have a responsibility to bring the truth so that we may mature. Would you rather me tell you now so that when you get out there, you have something to fight it with? Or just paint a pretty picture and say it's going to be okay? Well, I'm not that pastor. We've got a battle. And we've got to be prepared. And we'll move quickly here. We're going to endure this by remaining in Christ. Now look at verse number 2 in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to run this race with endurance by looking unto Jesus. We are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The author of our faith, he has written into your faith. He has written into my faith. He knows what it takes. And he says, this is what it's going to take. You want to be like me? Well, I suffered and I died for you. You want to be like me? I know Jesus went to the cross and we don't have to go through all that. He went through it. But this is what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 through 38. I'm going to paraphrase here. But he says, you want to come after me? And I ask you, do you want to follow Jesus? Do you truly want to follow Jesus? He said, then you must first deny yourself. Cast that weight. Cast that sin off. Deny yourself. And then take up your cross. Jesus said, I had a cross. I know he did it all for us. And we're supposed to just walk around and eat bonbons all day because Jesus went to the cross. No. He went to the cross. Let me tell you something. He also said, you have a cross that you must bear. Take up your cross and follow me. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you will lose your life for his sake, there's a reward for you. How awesome it is. You have a cross to bear. Know what your cross is. And this is the victory right here. He said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. The finisher. When in John 19:30, Jesus had taken the sour wine and he said, it is finished. Do you think he said it was finished because he was about to die? That it was just, okay, I'm dying now, it's finished. That it's over with, my life is done. It had nothing to do with that. When he said, it is finished, this was a victory shout. Come on, church. You hear that? Do you hear Jesus shouting, it is finished? When he died on the cross and said, it is finished, he said, you might be down by your weight in sin, but I'll look at that and I say, it is finished. Your habits, your pain, your suffering, the unrighteous side of suffering, it is finished. You're down, you're out. God spoke, Jesus said, it is finished. Your sin is finished. Your weight, it is finished. Cast it aside. Lay it on me. I died on the cross for it. It is finished. Man, how long to hear the words of Jesus. In my times of stupidity, hearing him say, Philip, it is finished. That's why I said that. I gained victory over that sin. He gained victory over your sin and your weight. And he said, it is finished. Now, as we finish up here, I want you to stand with me. And I want to speak to a couple people, a couple groups of people. The first group I want to talk to, Christians, those of you that you know you're a child of God, you know you're saved, but that weight that keeps coming back, that sin that is so easily ensnares us and drags us back away from God, you know what that is. I know what mine is. Oh, I know what it is. And there's a few of you in here that keep me accountable know what it is. And then there's my cross that I bear. You know what you're carrying right now. Christians, why do you carry it still? God's Word, this is not me speaking. Come on, please don't listen to me right now. God's Word says, lay aside every weight, not most of your weights, not the weights that you feel like getting rid of today. Every weight, listen to me, please. There's people dying in sin out there, and we need your testimony. The testimony without the weight, the testimony without the sin, the testimony that endures that race, that endures and shows the world out there there is hope in your suffering. Lay it aside. This altar's for you. You come lay it aside this morning. Don't play games here. Lay it aside. The next group I want to talk to, you know, Hebrews is a great book of faith, but it speaks of Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture here. It also talks about a saving faith. Jesus went to the cross and He carried that weight so that you would have someone to lay it on. And you know the only difference between a lost person and a Christian? We all suffer, right? Whether you're a child of God or whether you're lost and you know you don't really have a relationship with the Lord, you suffer. We all suffer, but you know what the difference is? As a child of God, I don't have to suffer alone. I don't have to do it alone. And there's reward for that. There's endurance for that. I don't have to do it alone. If you're lost, you're going to suffer either way, but you don't have to do it alone. And you can lay aside that sin and that weight that is going to keep you from being in heaven. Jesus went and sat at the right hand of God. What's our reward for all of this? We will be in heaven. We'll be with Him. And you know, it also said He is seated. He is seated there saying, I've got your weight in my lap. I've got your burden in my lap. I've got it all right here. Just come to me. Just come to me. Now I want you to pray with me. Bow your heads. Right now, everybody with their heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy. But I want you to listen to yourself right now. I want you to listen to God. You know what's going on in your heart. You know what God is saying to you. This is the time in the message where you have to respond. Not because that's how we do church, but because God is asking you to respond to Him. He says that if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. Now you can pray a prayer with me, and you can stay right there. But God's Word says you come and let everybody know. Father God, this is your Word. And Father, you are speaking to your children right now. And Lord, I feel such a heaviness, such a burden. I know there's people suffering right now who are Christians, who are dealing with things that they've put on themselves. Lord, they need to be at this altar. Lord, do not let them be comfortable where they stand. They need to be at this altar. And Father, I'm especially burdened for the lost. Lord, I know that there's people that are lost in here. Well, they may have raised their hand here or there, and they may have acknowledged you. But Lord God, you said that they need to make a public profession. They need to be known as part of your kingdom. Lord God, may they come. Oh, Father, bring them to the altar. Bring them to the altar. May they understand who you are. May they be saved in the name of Jesus. May I get out of the way. Do your work, Holy Spirit, in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.